Sefer Mamtes and Mabez, towards the middle of the page. So we just told two stories. We asked the question, right? We had that Rabbi Yilah has said, name of Rish Lakish, name of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, that they made a takan in Usha, that a person should be zan as Banavitz ben Osav while they are katanim. The Gemara asked the question, is that the halacha or not? So we had two stories that we heard that we were talking about. So the Gemara says, well, just go back for a second. Tashma, ki have asla kamendir of Yehuda, amalahu, they came to Yehuda with a story. There's a person who's not being willing to finance his children. So he said, no problem. So Yarud Yalda Vaav, Vaabnei Masa Shadya, right? So when Jackal, he said, right, is a person who's going to have children, and you want and wants to have the community take care of them, right? So the point is that he didn't force the guy to be on his children, but he embarrassed him. So he shamed him into it. So you see that they're not actually a chiyuv, but that there's a, they pushed them very hard, but it wasn't that there's a requirement per se, right? It's not a din d'rabbanan, because if it was a din d'rabbanan, there'd just be kovim, right? They're just forcing mamish. Ki have you also the kamid of Chista, and the same type of story came to Rav Chista. Amelhu kafur lay asisa b'tzibur v'leikem v'leimah. Right, put out something down on the ground, something you can stand up high on. Right, v'leikem and get up v'leimah urva by banei v'hu hahugavra lo by banei. Right, ravens want their children, and this guy doesn't want his children. Right, so the same thing. They're shaming the person, but there's not actually. They're not actually forcing him, right? Fine. Right, fine. Okay, so now the Gemara asks a question. V'orva bai bane? It's classic, right? Really? That good shtach? Is it really correct that a rave wants a children vaksiv livnei orev asher yikro, right? The children of ravens, the Kadosh Baruch Hu has to call them. And so if Kadosh Baruch Hu has to call for them, so what does it mean? It means that Hashem has to take care of them because their parents don't take care of them, or they don't want them, etc. So it's gemara lokasha ha bechivare ha beuchme, depends what color they are. White ravens versus dark ravens. So like Rashi says. Baruch had to call out to them because their parents are not taking care of them. And what's the difference? Uchme, kishagidel mashchir. And when they get older, they get darker. Va'aim va'av ohavimosan. Avamit mitchilosan levanim v'soninosan. Right? Depends. At the beginning, they're dark, so the parents like them. Sorry, when they get older, they're dark, and the parents like them. But when they're younger, they're white. They don't look like them. So they don't like them because they don't look like their parents. Okay. But the point being, so like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, take care of them because the parents are not interested. That's just the beginning. Depends how old they are and what color they are. Fine. But the bottom line is, so yes, the shtach was a correct shtach. Ki have asa lekami de Rava, back in the Gemara. So when they came to Rava, a similar story. So Amalei nichalacha de mizane banecha mitztaka. So again, he would say to the guy, "Are you okay? You want your children to be taken care of by tzedakah, v'lo amrin el d'lo amid." Right, but that's true only if they were not wealthy. Rashi says v'lo amrin d'lo kaifinan. Right, so meaning right now the assumption is all these proofs are proofs that the person not actually get forced. We push them very hard and we embarrass them, etc. But we don't actually right, all these very strong language actually is a proof not that they have to. It's a proof that they don't have to, and that's why we have to push them like this and embarrass them. But all this whole idea that they don't have to actually pay is only if they're not rich. Okay, they don't have a lot of money. Why? About amid. But if they're wealthy, so then we actually force them. Right, at that point we force them. And why is that? Rashi says bal korcho. Why lo yehi elat tzedakah? Is that here? I think so. Right, so that'd be true anyways. Meaning, there are certain situations where we force people to give tzedakah. Right, in those days in particular, right, you had certain taxes in the community, certain taxes on people, and if a person was wealthy, they were expected and they were forced to give tzedakah. So if the person's not rich, so then we shame them into being mazan, you know, being zan for their children. But if they're wealthy, then we actually force them, like, not because they're your children per se, but because they need someone to take care of these kids anyways. And continues the Gemara, ki had rava kafai kafia l'Rav Nasan bar Ami, right? Because we have a story that Rava forced Rav Nasan bar Ami, v'avik minei dal mea zuzi l'tzedakah, and he made him give 400 zuz to tzedakah to take care of, you know, not to take care of his own children, but just in general, that he would force him to give a lot of tzedakah. So Amar Rabbi La, Amar Reish Lakish, be'usha hitzkinu ha-kosev kodesofayim. So that's the bottom line, is that it's actually not the halacha, and you don't force the parents to take care of their children with the katana, but we encourage it very, 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 very strongly. Okay. So Amar Rabbi La, Amar Reish Lakish, be'usha hitzkinu, another din that was, another takana that was made in Usha, and if there was the following takana, so let's say a person decides while they're alive to give all of their money to their children. They want to do it. They want to do it now. They don't want to wait till they die. They want to give all their money now. They give all their money to their children. So what happens? The father and the mother are allowed to. They are, you know, they continue to be taken care of from the estate, and then hands it over to their children. Rashi says, "Who v'yishon yizonim mehem va'afilo kastvan me'achshav v'lo min adin ela takanas chachamim." Right. So even though they didn't say we're going to give it to you la'achar misa, right? We're going to give it to you now. Me'achshav, it's yours now. Doesn't make a difference. The parents continue to get taken care of. We won't allow parents to write themselves out in a certain sense. Even if they give the money to their children, the children have to continue to take care of the parents. Okay, so maskev la Rabbi Zera v'itim Rishmo bar Nachmani. So Rabbi Zera and some say Rishmo bar Nachmani responded here and brought a contradiction. Gedol bizu amru amanaso nizonis minichasav. So who v'ishtam ibai? So they said the following: there's a din that amana it gets mizonos from her husband's estate. Right, and what are we talking about? Rashi says, Gedolim Yizu Amru. Gedolim Yizu Amru. In a sort of more, you know, whatever you want to call it, more surprising or like more challenging scenario, we stay. What's the case? Kegon Amana Ubas. So you have a woman whose husband passes away, and all she has is one daughter. All he had was one daughter. And what happens? V'niseis Habas. And the daughter gets married. Sha'af api shehu meis v'anechasin mishtabdu l'lokeach. Right, and even though he dies and his money is given to a lokeach, the lokeach derabban and kagon, ba benichse ishto, just like a husband who has his own wife, you know, who has his wife's nechasim. Because what's happening here in this scenario? Who's the yorish? The yorish is the daughter, right? So in this scenario, the daughter has the money now, and the daughter marries the husband. So the daughter has the money and she marries the husband. So whose money is it? It's the son-in-law's money now. Right, v'kaimel name in motzi in lemazon ha'isha minechasim mishubadim. And we say in general, if the woman has nechasim mishubadim, so then we don't make her, you know, you don't pay the wife who's left from nechasim mishubadim, from nechasim that really belongs to someone. Let's say it wasn't the son-in-law. Let's say it was the husband had owed money to stam a guy, right? And then when he dies, the money goes to that stama guy, Reuven, you know, who's lives around the, you know, on the other side of the world. So you wouldn't say Reuven now has to pay for, you know, Shimon's wife, right? Who he got who he owed the money. That's not, we wouldn't say that. So nevertheless, if ilahaki hecha the lake ala mecha shletikin haolam kegon ki halokeach shalahotzi maos shaviv hurabanan ki yorish ve'amrei tazuna amana min nichzei baila. So in this case, so what do? He's not really a Yorish, but we treat him like a Yorish. The son-in-law is not really a Yorish, but nevertheless, we say treat him like a Yorish. We're not worried about Tikkun HaOlam, meaning it's his own mother-in-law. So that is Tikkun HaOlam, is it? Right, maybe. But when they say we're not worried about Tikkun HaOlam, meaning that people are not going to make deals because they're going to be worried they're going to get messed over, for et cetera. So here, you're not worried about that because it's his own mother-in-law. So in that case, we make the son-in-law be Zan, the mother-in-law, basically. Even though the father has already passed away and the Yerusha had gone to his wife. So, but the point is, if that's the rule, and if the rule is that the mother-in-law, you know, or the widow gets continued to be supported by her son-in-law after her husband passes away, so that's a much bigger, you know, a bigger chiddush in a certain sense. So that's true. So certainly it's going to be true that that if parents who give their money away to their children should have to continue to support them. So if that's true, what I even need this separate in. Oh, see, in Usha, they made a special takana that parents who give their money away, the children have to support them. That's not a chiddush. So why would you say that? So it doesn't make sense that to be the case. Okay. So, and how do we know? The Shalach Ravin be'igrise mishameis v'niach amana ubas ubas amanaso nizonis minichasav. Right? So, because Ravin sent a letter which said this halacha. That someone who passes away and he leaves an amana and a daughter, and his amana will get, you know, will get supported from the nechasim niseis habas, and if the daughter gets married, amanaso nizonis minichasav. Right? Then the daughter gets married after, right? It sounds like, you know, even after the guy passed away. Nevertheless, the almana gets sustained from that money. And then Mesa Abbas, what happens? What if the daughter then dies? Right? So now what? So now it's just the son-in-law, but he's the ex-son-in-law because the daughter passed away. So Amar Yehuda, some say Rav Yehuda. Amar Rav Yehuda ben Achos Oshel, Rav Yossi Bar Chanina, Ayadi Hayamaisa, did it happen to me? He said, it happened to me. V'amru amanaso nizones minachasav hu v'ishto. Oh, sorry. V'amru amanaso nizones minachasav. So hu v'ishto mibai. So the same exact question then, right? So he said. So bottom line is, Rabbi Yehuda ben Achos Shav Yosi Bar Chanina said, I had the same story, and that's what we said. The amana gets supported from the nechasim of the original husband. So if that's true, again, what's the need for the Talmid Chacham and Usha to make such a takana? It doesn't make any sense. So
presumably at the sacrament night, but after she passes away, the husband then would then indeed inherit it, right?
The truth is he inherits already.
Right,
it's really his money, but she just right. The point is that he actually inherits the money already. Well, he doesn't inherit it. He whatever the language is, it's not a Yerusha, right? It's the daughter's Yerusha that she brings into the marriage, so that becomes his money. Right? It becomes his money. So he's like a lokeach, really.
When his wife, the former daughter, passed away, I guess he inherits.
He inherits her, right?
Okay.
Right. Correct. But the point is that. He still supports it. Yeah, correct. Fine. So good. So all this is true. So what's the chiddush of the takana that took place in Usha? What's it teaching me? So ma'od the same. Now what might you have thought? Hasam who the laker the tarach, aval hacha nitrach l'didei, right? L'didei ulididei. What might you say in the case of the amana? She's an amana. She's by herself, right? She has no one to make money for her. She has no one to support her. So you need someone to take care of her, right? But in the other case, what might you say? You'd say, look at Rashi says, "Hasam hu deleket the tarach kama shemes baila." Her husband died. Lahachi avir rabbanan takanta for her. They, you know, that's obvious, right? Avahacha says Rashi the kaiihu, right? He's alive. The husband's still alive. Nitrach ledidei ulididei kamash malan. Right. So let him. Let him go to work. He wants to give all his money up for his children. That's a very, you know, beautiful thing to do if he wants to. But he's still around. So why don't let him work? And he'll make money for her. So I might have thought that even though he gives his money away, that he gave his money away and he is around, the husband, that he can still work. So I might have thought that we say, rely on yourself, kamash malan, that in that case, it's no different than the case of the almana, and the children still have to support the parents in that case. Fine. So you buy Elihu. So that's a different question. Okay, so what's the halacha? We pass like this. We don't pass like this, like we asked before, right? So Tashma, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yonasan, Havukame. So there is a story of Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yonasan, and Asa who gavra gachin v'nashke. So there was some guy who came to Rabbi Yonasan, and he was kissing his feet. He like bent down to kiss his feet. So gachin v'nashke l'Rabbi Yonasan akare. So he's kissing Rabbi Yonasan's feet. Kare is his feet. So Amalei Rabbi Chanina, what's happening here? Why is someone kissing your feet? So Amalei kosei nechasav lebanavu v'asasinu lezane. This person gave his money all away to his children, and I made sure, Rashi says, v'asasinu kafisi osam, I forced them b'chazka. V'meisha tarachti alav l'kanes lo lefnim mishur sadin mechavivini. Right? So I was so nice to him, I forced his children to provide him with mizonos. So he's has a lot of akar shatov, so that's why he's kissing my feet. Okay. So says Gemara, yeah, Mr. Bishlama Lavdina, if you tell me it's not the halacha, so Mishum Hachi, I get it. So then if it wasn't the din, that's the reason why he's so appreciative, because he did something that was lifnim mishur sadin. Right? But Eliyamr's Dina Asinu Imras Dina Asinu by, right? So El I Amras Dina Asinu. But if it's just the halacha, right, so then that's why he did it. So there's no bit. Rashi says, Idinahu ain kan gamilos tova la hachzik lo tova shal korcho yishvor emes. When he gave a big yashar koach, he's kicking his feet for being done the correct din. That's not, doesn't make any sense. So it must be. What do you see? That it's not the halacha, right? It's not the halacha. It's again, it's very similar to the case before. That it's something that we strongly encourage. But it's still not something that's absolutely the din. And since it's not, I read it wrong, but Amr's Dina Asinu Bai, and did you have to do such a thing? The answer is no. So it must be that it's not the halacha, but rather it's a really, really, really important thing that the Talmid Chachamim really want you to do. But it doesn't mean that it's actually the din. Okay, so we'll stop here. We'll pick up Daf Nun next week.